If you'd like to support us, you'll find information at the end of this podcast.
Okay, we're going to talk about the parable of the sower and the seed. I spent a year and a half first studying it, and I probably went 3 years studying the parable of the sower and the seed. I kept coming back to it, coming back to it, coming back to it, coming back to it, because there was one thing in the parable, which is in Matthew chapter 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. It's the same story, spoken by three different people, and there's something to be read in each one of those, Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. But in Mark 4, it says, chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? Because they came to him and they said, Well, can you tell us what this parable is, the parable of the sower and the seed? And he explained to them, but he said to them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? So he said, You don't understand this parable? How are you going to understand any other parable? How are you going to understand all the parables I'm speaking if you don't understand this parable? So I figured if I understood this parable, understood what it was talking about and the structure of it and what God was trying to teach, then I would understand all other parables. So I spent a year and a half first, and it stretched out to nearly 3 years studying the parable. I kept coming back to it. I'd print out the parable in Matthew and Mark and Luke, and I'd staple them together, and I would I'd put them beside my chair, and I'd read them every now and then. It'd only take me about 15 minutes, and I'd study them, and I went into the Greek, and I looked at it, and I believe that I got a great revelation of how that parable works. And I started reading the other parables, and I started understanding them much better. And I'm not going to spoon feed you, and we're not going to go step by step by step, word by word, through the Bible. You should be able to go through the Bible yourself and study these things. I'm just giving you a synopsis. I'm just going to give you the short version. You can go and chase it up yourself. But in the parable of the sower and seed in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the four things that I've learned is that the word of God is the seed, and it's those that hears the word of God, those that receive the word of God, and those that understand, and those that keep the word. So you have to hear it, you have to receive it, you have to understand it, and you have to keep it. So somebody has to speak the word of God to you, or some situation has to be there so that you can hear the word of God. Then you have to be able to be in a place to receive it. And then you have to be able to, if you've received it, then you have to be able to unpack it or to understand it. So then when you've understood it, then you need to be able to keep it. Because if you don't keep it, then it'll all be lost and you'll have nothing. So you need to hear, receive, understand, and keep. And it's talking about not so much about three different types of Christians. It's talking about the process that a person goes through to become fruitful so that they can bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit in their field. So the first field, or the first place, is the Word of God lands on the ground, and it's hard. So the Word doesn't penetrate. So the Word, the person hears the Word, but he can't receive it. Because his ground is hard, because his heart is hard, because he's gone through so much pain and suffering in his life, he's unable to receive the engrafted word. He's unable to receive the truth when it's preached to him, because he has been so hurt, he's come into unbelief or whatever. Now, this is people in the world and Christians. So some Christians can't receive the word of God because they've been so hurt, because they have closed their heart up and nothing can get into their heart. So the enemy comes and he snatches it away. Now, he doesn't come a month later or a week later. He comes straight away. Straight away means straight away. So the devil comes straight away. Okay, so he comes and he steals the word. So he came and stole the word out of Eve. Okay, so he said, has God said this? Has God said that? And she believed the devil and she ended up. So what God had spoken to Adam and, you know, she the enemy came and took it away from her. That the enemy can come and take away the seed from us. I could go through a whole list of people that I've spoken to, and the next week I go back to them and they say, look, I'm not going to go down that road because I spoke to somebody or something. I read an article and I'm no longer believing what you told me because the word has been stolen, right? So when people receive the word, right, they receive it and then they have to be able to understand it. So, you know, we pray that that the eyes of their understanding be open and that they would be able to understand the thing, okay? That they would be able to understand what God is trying to tell them, what the Word of God says about salvation, about living a good life, a holy life, all of these things. These things apply to unsaved and saints because it's all about the Word of God affecting human being, whether they're unsaved or saved. Because once you're saved, the Word of God needs to continually come into your life and transform your life and bear fruit. So there's these things, and then there's keeping the Word, right? So you keep the Word. It's no good, you know, sort of understanding the Word but not keeping it. And keeping it means to walk in it, right? To apply it. You keep it. So, you know, these four things are the things that the Word of God has a process. And you'll read them in Matthew chapter 13, Luke 4, Mark 4 and Luke 8. And, you know, one of the key things is he says that when he's talking in the parable of the sower and the seed, he's saying that that no one gets a candle and sticks it under a bed. Instead, they put it in a prominent place. So what's he talking about, this candle? Well, a candle, right, could you imagine, you know, in your ground, because there's, you know, there's different types of ground. There's one ground that's hard. There's another ground that's got stones underneath it, and the plant can't go down with its roots. And there's another one that has thorns in it, and the plant gets choked by those thorns. So could you imagine if you were able to get a candle, what would be a candle? Maybe the Holy Spirit, revelation that the Holy Spirit brings of the imperfections that are in your life. So you would pray and you would get revelation of the things that are in your life that are going to hinder the Word of God from taking root. And as you see those things, then you can deal with them, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, for the Spirit searches the deep things and finds all the little stones, brings them to your attention and says, the word's not going to dwell very well in here, so you need to get rid of these stones. And the Holy Spirit searches your heart and finds all the little thorn thistle, all the thorn seeds, and says, these are eventually going to grow up and choke the word once it starts growing. You need to get rid of them. So you have this candle. You have this ability to look into dark places, dark recesses of you, so that God can deal with those things and find them for you, bring them to your attention, and you can partner with him in the destruction and burning of these things, of destroying of these things. So it's all about speaking in tongues. It's all about revelation. The kingdom of God is all about revelation. The kingdom of God is hid from those who are, you know, who are not in the kingdom. You know, he says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not known. Why? It's not given, sorry. So it's not given to them. Why? Because they don't have a candle. They don't have the ability to understand the function of the kingdom of God. They don't have the ability to have revelation. A person can read the Bible 17 times and have no revelation of God. They can understand academically the word of God, but they don't have a revelation of him and his plan and purpose for them in their life. They don't have a personal relationship. So when God gives you the Holy Spirit, he gives you this wonderful tool, speaking in tongues for edification, for building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So, you know, when you pray in tongues, you go over all of the deep things, the hidden things that are going to stop the word of God from growing in your life. And then you're going to deal with them through the Holy Spirit. You're going to put them before the Lord and say, burn them up. And God will, with an unquenchable fire, burn them up so that they won't hinder your walk. So the kingdom of God is about walking in revelation. The kingdom of God is about walking in light. The kingdom of God is about walking in truth. The kingdom of God is about walking in integrity. And the opposite to all of these things comes from the kingdom or kingdom of darkness, right? The Bible says, or Jesus says, that the God of this world has blinded their eyes, right? Jesus says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come, Jesus said, I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So Jesus wants us to have life, life more abundantly. So if you read Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, and study it, you'll find you'll come to the same conclusion. It talks about a treasure. You know, if you go from Matthew 13, all of Matthew 13, right up to, 52, Jesus talks about the sower, and then he talks about, he says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while he slept, an enemy came and put bad seed in. While he wasn't looking, while he wasn't attended to the things of God, the enemy came and put bad stuff in his field. But you know, if he prayed, he would know where all the bad stuff was. And the Holy Spirit would systematically and skillfully destroy that seed. He's not telling us to go and rip it up. Let the Holy Spirit do all of the ripping up, because you may tear up the good seed. You know, and then he talks about, he says, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. Right, so then he's talking about it's a small thing, it will grow. So you have to let the kingdom of God expand inside of you in your knowledge and understanding. It's, you know, the whole thing about God is just so simple. It's just so simple. You know, people ask me continually, well, how did you get to where you are? I said, just get full of God. And they say, well, how do you do that? I say, well, come here, I'll put my hands on you and I'll pray for you and I'll get you a fair way up the track, and then you can continue on praying, seeking God, reading the Bible without hindrance, and you'll get full of God. That's really the key. That is the bottom line. Get full of God. Full of the Holy Spirit. You know, they're being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're full of the Holy Spirit. It's just so simple. But yet, life is so complex. And the enemy makes life very complex. He puts things in our path to hinder us. He puts things in our path to take our focus or our attention off of the simplicity of the gospel, right? Which is freedom, which is the chains being broken, which is the heavy weight being taken off of us. That's the gospel of the kingdom, right? But the gospel of darkness is the cares of this world and all the thorns that choke the word and all of the persecution, everything else that's wrapped up in it. It takes our gaze off of God, right? Which is the light, because he's the Father of light. It takes our gaze off of him, and we end up losing our focus, and then we get taken captive. But Jesus said that he has come to set the captives free. And the good part about it is, whenever we get taken captive, whenever we get taken captive, we can go, get on our knees, and ask God. And He will set us free. It's just so wonderful. You know, it's so easy to walk in God. So easy, but yet it's so difficult. It's easy if you keep your eyes on Him. It's difficult if you take your eyes off. You know, I was saying to Dom this morning that this whole earth and the system of the earth at this moment is designed to be, it's degenerating. It's falling apart. It's breaking down. And, you know, in our life, it's designed to take our eyes off of God. It's designed to take us away from God. But, you know, Jesus said that if we are overcomers of the world, because He has already overcome the world, we'll be victorious. So, you know, if we don't mow our yard, if we don't weed our garden, it will overgrow with thorns and thistles and all sorts of stuff, and we'll find it hard to walk in the Lord. So you need to be disciplined ones or disciples, and we need to walk in the Lord, and we need to gather ourselves into a place where we are continually seeking God, getting up every day. We get up every day and we brush our teeth. We have no one goes without breakfast too much. Nobody goes without meals. Nobody goes without any of the nice things of life and the maintenance. But what about the maintenance of our walk? We need to maintain our walk in the Lord. And the things we do is we pray, read our Bible, meditate on the Word, and then we worship or get in the presence of God, and fasting as well. And these things will maintain our walk. If we walk in those things, we'll be free. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. And we walk in the law of the Spirit of life, which brings life more abundantly, then we will be free from the law of sin and death, free from regeneration, from degeneration, free from being bogged down in the mud, and we will be able to walk in the light, and our we will see fruit, and we'll have a field that won't have stones and won't have thorns and won't hinder our walk, so that it doesn't choke us, or choke the Word in us, and we will bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. That's the parable of the sower and the seed. And if you study that parable and you understand the function of that parable, you'll understand all the other parables. You'll understand, you know, where he says in 13, he says that the king, he says, another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. It's like leaven. I don't want to go into the whole deal. I'll let you go and seek that, search that out. But leaven, when you put it in something, then it just goes through the whole lot. It just grows through the whole lot. And the kingdom of God, right, is like leaven. And once it's set forth, it just keeps growing. It's unstoppable. The kingdom of God is unstoppable. And if you just allow it, if yourselves to be leavened with the kingdom of God, and not the leaven of the Pharisees, which is compromise, but the leaven of the kingdom of God, it will be unstoppable. If you make a place for it to grow, right, for the Word to grow richly inside you, then it will be unstoppable, and it will fill all of your life. You know, there's a lot. I could dwell on there. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God is like a treasure which a man found in a field. Now that treasure is in the Greek. It means a treasure chest, or it means a library of stuff, So, you know, if you go into a library and you have no knowledge, no understanding, and you go into a library and you start reading the books, you're going to start to be educated. If you go into the library of the kingdom of God and you start sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving revelation of the kingdom, you're not going to be dumb. You're going to be well educated in the kingdom of God, how it functions. And the kingdom of God is dynamic and is all about setting people free, having you set free, right, and setting other people free. It's all about freedom. The kingdom of God is about regeneration. It's about freedom. It's about life. It's all about the good stuff. The kingdom of darkness is about degeneration, being bogged in the mud and dying and just falling apart. That's the kingdom of darkness. We're of the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven. And our Father is the Father of light. You know, it's interesting, but in the Hebrew, when God said, let there be light, that word light in the Hebrew in its fundamental concept, it means to get a bunch of cattle that are roaming around and corral them and put them into a corral. That's what the concept of light means. Okay, so, you know, we're looking at the physical properties of light, but the Hebrew word, let there be light, what he was saying is let there be order. Let there be no longer chaos and things randomly walking around or moving around, right? We're talking about even atoms. We're talking about molecules. We're talking about neutrons. We're talking about even at a subatomic level. He's saying, let everything come into formation and let everything be gathered together. And that is the proper word, light. And light can be used in many, many different things. Do you know when we have disorder in our life and God shines his light, he's shining order. We're the children of order. We're the children of functionality. We're the children of truth. We're not the children of disorder, dysfunctionality. We're the children of order. I could go into a lot about that. But, you know, when we sit down and we read the library and we start receiving the mysteries of the kingdom of God, then we start becoming educated and we walk in order and functionality comes into our life and we start walking in victory, because everything that is not in victory is of the enemy. You know, the law of thermodynamics has been set forth, and it came into play as soon as Adam, as soon as he got kicked out of the garden. The law of thermodynamics, or the law of empathy, where everything left will eventually degrade and fall apart. That law, the law of death, because he said, on that day you shall surely start to fall apart or die, right? So, you know, that law is operating. But, you know, there's another law. There's the law of the spirit. There's the law of the spirit of life, okay? And that brings order in our life. That brings functionality. That sets the captives free, and it heals the brokenhearted. And, you know, it cuts away every weight that does easily beset us, and it releases the heavy burdens that we carry. And we enter into this rest, this wonderful rest that God has provided for us. You read about that in Hebrews. But getting back to, you know, the parable of the sower and the seed, study it out. But I'll tell you, it's all about revelation. It's all about walking in the light. It's all about speaking in tongues. That's one level of revelation. The Bible has many, many, many levels of revelation. But that's one level of revelation that I want to put to you, is that if you understand this parable, you'll understand that you're to hear the word, you're to receive the word, you're to understand the word, and to keep the word, or walk in it, right? You know, Jesus said Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount goes from chapter 5, 6, and 7. Those whole three chapters, right, are a whole teaching. And he says, those that build their house on the rock and not on the sand are those that hear my sayings and keep them. Okay? So that's what he's saying. If you hear my sayings and keep them, then you're like the guy who builds a house on the rock. And it says, and he dug deep, right? He dug deep until he got to bedrock. And he cleared away all of the rubble. He cleared away all of the little stones that were not stable. And he got rid of them. He dug deep until he got onto some bedrock, some firm foundation. And then what did he do? He built his house. He started building his house on a firm foundation. And that firm foundation is Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the firm foundation. And he built it on integrity. He built it on truth. And nothing will prevail against it. But the house built on a shifting sand will crash and burn. You know, there's a lot of Christians who built their life on shifting sand. Or they've built their life on a rock. And unfortunately, every now and then, they've placed certain bricks in their building that need to be taken out and replaced with proper, authentic truths of the kingdom of God. That's where the thistles and the stones come into play in the sower and the seed. If you'll sit down at the feet of Jesus, pray in tongues, and be taught of him, he will dismantle all of the stones under the ground that will stop your plant from receiving good water. The roots won't be hindered, and you'll grow up and be strong, and you'll be proportioned. You won't have a tall, skinny plant with little roots, so that when the heat comes, it shrivels up. You'll be proportioned. You'll be in proper proportion, so you'll have what's on above the ground equally under the ground. So what people see in your life, right, will be equally proportioned in your spiritual life. And there's also those thorns. You'll get rid of those things which will, they'll corrupt the word. They'll choke it out of you because of the cares of this world and because of the lust of other things, the lust of riches, and just the cares of this world choke the word out. We could go into all of that, but I want you to study it. I want you to understand, it's all about hearing, receiving, understanding, and keeping the word. You know, if you pray in tongues and you have all the revelation that is afforded to you about the kingdom of God, but if you don't do it, then you're a person who is a hearer but not a doer. That's not going to profit you. So you need to hear the word, receive it, you need to understand it, and you need to keep it. Okay? Those are the things that you'll find in Matthew chapter 13. Those are the things. I spent nearly 3 years studying that, on and off. And, I haven't yet even scratched the surface of this parable. It's so deep. There's so far reaching into things. And, Jesus speaks, he goes in Matthew 13, he starts, talks about the parable. They go to him and say, we don't understand what this is all about. He explains it, and you'll find different versions of the same event in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. And each one of them comes from a different angle and will bring a different part to the story. So, in Matthew, which is the biggest part of the parable, he goes through other parables. He says, now do you understand? They said, yes. By the time he gets to 52, they'd figured it out. He explained to them a whole lot of different parables which complemented the parable of the sower and the seed. So I would suggest that you look at that. There's another one where we'll go into that is in Matthew 5, which goes Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And that's a whole teaching. And there's a lot of teaching in that. Jesus talks about how to morally walk upright and how to function properly in the kingdom of God. Okay, so we'll just leave it there.
So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.